kingly confidence, masculine mastery, fearless freedom. Welcome to the podcast that supports you to show up in the world as the unapologetic, unfuckwithable, free-loving king you were born to be. Join Masculine Mastery Coach Mark Usher on a journey to releasing conditioned stories of unnecessary stress, struggle, and shame, while unlocking unlimited levels of inner peace, power, and prosperity in every area of your life. Fearless freedom comes to you as you self-authorize your masterpiece life, knowing in your truth, you move with nothing to prove. You are enough. And now, Mark.
Kings of Freedom from around the globe listening in, I am so appreciative to be here in your presence at this digital campfire as always. I've been a little bit absent for the last couple of weeks, and to be honest, it's just as part of this deep dive into the modern king's distinction between professional versus profound. Such a powerhouse of importance of an inner distinction to be able to make as a man as you navigate life in the modern world. Part of the reason why I actually ended up not recording in the last week or two was part of leaning in to this distinction as my inner work, my process of navigating through my life, making sense of it. It came up, this distinction, professional versus profound. What happened was, a number of weeks ago, I did my last episode was on what was meant to be. My rational mind conjured up this idea, which sort of made sense rationally, was, okay, I wanted to do, as part of my membership, I was going to want to do a deep dive into the important topic of habit formation. So my mind sort of conjured up, it was like, okay, well, you know, and I put on this voice because this is my rational mind, thinking, unfeeling part of my brain, my magician archetype. And it was like, well, you know, this is a very big topic, Mark, so it would make sense if you just split it up into four equal segments, and that will spread out your creative work, that it'll take pressure off your back, and you have 4 weeks of podcast episodes lined up, and it's going to be easy, take them a segment at a time, boom, brilliant, it all makes sense. It made sense to my magician archetype. It made sense to my rational mind. It made sense, if you want to say in a sense, professionally. Yet, the funny thing was, there was a part of me. There was a part of my profound genius. What sets me on fire that just didn't vibe with this. Just didn't cut and go along with it. My creative impulse in jumping onto the podcast, sort of my magic was dampened out because it was, you know, it was rationally set out what I was going to be doing for the next 4 weeks. I found that I leaned way too far in on the professional, on the rational minded, on this is how I should do it. Yet how I do it best got chopped unwittingly. And there was a great learning in this for me because, you know, one of the core teachings in life, you know, going into, what was it, did they call it the Adelphi? Read it in Eckhart Tolle's book, you know thyself. And there was, in Latin or whatever language it was, translated, know thyself. The key advice going into the oracle within that temple, the oracle that could answer any question you had to bring, yet the one information that it had inscribed over the door as you entered the temple was simply know thyself. And that's what I'm talking about, profound. The profundity of you and knowing thyself. Yet in modern life, being professional sort of ends up being bombarded to us as being the most important thing. And there's a lot going on in this distinction that is of massive importance. I build in the context again, repetition is mastery. I spoke in episodes gone by of the catastrophic and dramatic statistics which over the last 30 to 40 years, over the last 50 years, the average testosterone levels in men in the Western world is down by 40%. 40%. this is the first time hearing, like, I mean, just feel that as a punch in your own balls. This is like the spiritual energy center in so many senses. Our balls are cock, and balls are sexual organs. The wisdom of that center, the energy inherent in that center, is so often shamed, and it's locked up by conditioning as just being like sexual organ. That's where you fuck from, and it's sort of this shadow side, shamed side, where yeah, you fuck, you have kids. That's sort of the that's the allowed bit. But then anything there after that, it's like the dark ends, the late night bit of fun and activity, but you don't really talk about that much. Definitely not within a spiritual sense. So this part of her essence as men has been shamed and put to the shadow side of society so much that we're feeling the squeeze, the energetic squeeze on our balls, on our manhood so much that 40% of this vital force that is testosterone, 40% of those levels, it's down by 40% over 50 years. You know, you don't have to be a degree level or a master's, PhD, doctorate level in statistics to know it's pretty fucking catastrophic. You know, you just add another 50%, 50 years onto that and another 40% taken down. I mean, it's not very good. And this actually speaks to the core part of why professional versus profound is so important to modern men to know, and not to know intellectually. To know intellectually first, but to allow the difference permeate your entire being. When a man is profound, is fully in his authentic, full knowing himself, unapologetic, unfuckwithable truth as a man, he's going to be a testosterone energized warrior. He's not going to be afraid of his shadow side, of the part of him that can fucking kill a man if necessary. He's not going to be apologizing for his sexual dark shadow desires that he just wants to fuck his woman open, his king open into full ravishing bliss. He's not going to be apologizing for this element, for his sexual desire as he walks down the street. This does not mean that he will act out on these shadow sides, but he's not going to apologize for any part of his being. He's not going to be going into the workplace, you know, playing this facade where this is the dress code and this is how I'm meant to wear my beard and wear my hair and this is how you're meant to speak and this is the box that I am put into for 40 to 45, 50 years of my life, and I play this role so I can fit in, and by fitting in I get to the top. This is happening so many men, and we end up minimizing and normalizing this professional role that we're conditioned to play. We minimize and normalize it so much to the point at which we take it on almost as part of our identity. We don't even realize, but there's a shift in our energy, in how we show up as men. I have noticed this. Well, I've noticed it in myself. You know, my first professional training was as a physiotherapist, and I was playing that role. I was like wearing the uniform and doing up my office the way a physiotherapist's office was meant to be. I had to, like, of course there was professional standards that I had to adhere to. There was the professional body, the code of conduct. And in all of this, I don't want to put this out that, you know, being professional is a bad thing. There are certain codes of professionality. There are certain professional standards within every genre that, you know, professional standards. You want to have your doctor that has professional standards. I was working as a physiotherapist, now as a coach. You want to have some set of professional standards to sort of to adhere to, that, you know, you reach a certain standard that you can serve your person from an ethically correct, sound place, that your service is going to be of exponential benefit to them and not detrimental to them, that they're going to be safe and they're going to thrive with your advice and your service. Of course, of course, of course. So, you know, a part of the mind can sort of rebel against provocative teachings like this, provocative conversations. And to be honest, part of my commitment to you, first and foremost to myself, in showing up profoundly myself for conformity. In my truth, I move with nothing to prove. I am enough. That's the heart essence of this commitment to being profound. Part of my commitment is I almost want that in every podcast episode I put out, every email I put out, every, I'm really rapidly wanting to transition away, it's going to happen in the coming weeks, from social media. But if I put out a post, I want at least one man that reads it, that listens to the podcast, etc., reads an email. I want at least one, two guys to be so provoked by what I'm saying that they're like, no, fuck that. Enough. I don't want, he's a fucking asshole. He's arrogant. Like, he's talking truths, he's talking this shit, but like, fuck it. That's enough for me. I want that. I don't want to be safe. I don't want to be safe in my own thinking. I don't want to be safe in my own being. I want to be radically true to myself. This, I am finding, is not a very popular thing to do in the modern world. To be profoundly yourself is such a provocative state of being to come from that it rattles people's cages. It ruffles the feathers of people around you who are used to playing the professional role, the facade role, a role where you sort of know what's allowed, you know what's not allowed, so just fit in and do what's allowed. Stay within that set of social mores and norms within your culture, the culture of the workplace, of your profession. You're good, you're acceptable. Excel within that. The more you apply it, the more you can excel. Step out of it, you're going to get your knuckles wrapped. The more profoundly you show up, sometimes, you know, you can get a bit of kickback. But hey, part of Kings of Freedom is, you know, it's based on the king archetype. And slowing down to speed up. Repetition is mastery, you know, it's these core things. I've spoken before in an episode dating back where the reason when I picked the logo that it had, like, sort of, if you look at the Kings of Freedom logo, it has like an ominous, big, heavy-looking crown. And I went with that. There was lots of different, what do you call them, prototypes that my graphics designer had put forward. And they were sort of nice and were cool, and I whittled them down to two final ones. But there was the heavy crown, and I really wanted that. Because the king archetype is about your truth as a man. And there again, I'm leaning in here. My invitation again is lean in energetically into this conversation. Feel what's coming up in your body. It's a provocative conversation, and I honor and I acknowledge you if you're returning back to this podcast. I honor and I acknowledge you for your courage, because it's an uncommon conversation. It's an uncommon conversation because common conversations nowadays amongst men are not striking at the kingly core that we have at our being. This is an uncommon approach because the king archetype is about your truth. Your divine truth beyond all beliefs that have been conditioned into you, into your nervous system from the word go, from the first moment you could actually start piecing together sentences and start understanding language. Not that there wasn't conditioning before then, but that's when it really gathers speed. When you're told, well, this is what you're meant to do, this is what you have to do, this is what's acceptable, this is not what's not acceptable, you know. You get the good boy praise and then the bad boy, bold boy, put to the side type of reaction. And we learn to fit in. That's younger days, good boy, bad boy. But you know, the same thing follows into education and then it goes into the workplace. The good boy is professional. The bad boy many times is the profound part. It doesn't have to be. But in a world where there's so much facade and role and downright mediocrity. There again, let's get to the heart essence of what mediocrity be. And when the word mediocrity is brought up in Deep Men's work, it's an energetic slap in the face. It really is. To call a man out on his minimized and normalized tendency to hold back and stay in mediocrity, it's a very provocative thing. But I want to be of greater service to you. So if there's any element of your being that is where there's a blind spot, where you're holding back, minimizing and normalizing a certain level of mediocrity, you know, it's to be of service. I'm coming from love, and as always, with full sacred humility, humus being the root of the word humility, is the ground of truth. In calling you out, I'm calling me out. I'm calling all men around the world out. I'm talking with married men progressively. Kings of Freedom has went with that, but it's calling us out. Mediocrity, the root meaning of it is medius ocris. Middle, medius, ocris, rugged mountains. To be stuck in the middle of the rugged mountains. You're not at the bottom. You're not at the bottom. I mean, you're halfway up. But you're not at the top with the full clarity that comes from seeing from the top of the mountain. Victorious, but it's the top of the mountain is where you're all-seeing, all-knowing. The top of the mountain is the place of the king archetype. Because it's this full clarity, seeing reality, seeing the full chaos of life underneath your feet. But you can see all the peaks, you can see where you need to go, you can see where you are. Mediocrity is getting caught, stuck in the middle of the rugged mountains. Neither at the top, neither at the bottom. So it's not that being mediocre or minimizing and normalizing as a blind spot, mediocrity in your state of being. You know, if you're unwittingly caught in playing a professional facade or role, you might have got to the top, but there's a certain getting caught, stuck in the middle of the rugged mountains in, from a state of being, if that means sacrificing your profundity, sacrificing your authenticity, your knowledge of who you truly are. In this, there can be a kickback from the mind, which is like, well, I'm a professional, but I'm really myself. Of course, I can't generalize this, but I'm just going to lean into my own experience of, you know, these two distinctions and how these distinctions came up. And progressively, you know, my work, my life's purpose, my dharmic drive within Kings of Freedom is reaching out and jumping into deep, intimate conversation on a one-to-one basis with, it's like it's hundreds of men around the world at this point. A lot of the time, more and more as I progress in this, I'm having the great, beautiful honor and privilege of progressively, because of my impact, because of the podcast, because of how I'm showing up and leaning more and more into my own profound, unapologetic magnificence and genius zone in doing this work, I'm having the privilege of being introduced progressively to high achieving men. Men that are really at the leading edge of their careers. And what I can report back is, actually, the higher up you go, the more men are leaning into the professional facade, the role that took them to the top. One of the toughest inner world challenges of high achieving men is that they really struggle to be open to anybody around them at all on the inner challenges that they're having. One of the most common manifestations of this is imposter syndrome. It's like they've gotten to the top, but they have massive, deep, unexpressed, unresolved feelings of inadequacy, of self-doubt, of self-criticism. It's actually the felt inadequacy if you go back 20 years in their life, 30, 40 years in their life. It's from that sense of inadequacy where they found their drive to reach the top, because the carrot and stick of modern culture is like, if you reach the top and you are successful, you're the CEO, you're the top man in the company, you have all the money, you have the houses, you have the big car, you have the wife and four kids, and the four kids are super successful, etc., 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 and you're fit and healthy, and you know, you can afford whatever lifestyle you choose, the inadequacy should be gone at that point. I mean, you should have arrived. You're top dog. Everybody sees you as top dog. You have the power when you go into the workplace. I mean, you're the man to go to. You're the director of the team of 98 people that you have under you. You have the power to call the shots. You're the money man. You're the success guy. You're the guy that when the small guys come in, to the company, they're looking up to you. They're like, hey, he's the man. He has arrived. Here's the thing. Behind all of that professional facade, all that role, the vast majority of times, there's a deep inner suffering of what's going down deep underneath the facade. That's what I'm talking about, profound. Professional versus profound. The profound is the truth of your being. It's the truth of what's going on. And if to reach the top, leaning into the professional facade, ticking the boxes, doing the right thing, wearing the right clothes, having your hair the right way, saying the right things, you know, hitting the right standards, means that you're sacrificing a part of your truth. And the further up you go, the further and deeper into your career you go, the less you feel able to actually be honest with people. There's a massive sacrifice to pay for. What I've seen, and like, I'm acutely aware, like, what I leaned into here, like, it can actually be sort of very easily, from the rational mind, a resistant part of a mindset, be, well, you can't, that's being judgmental, Mark. I'm going to share it, but there's a context, and it's the context is energetic. It's a feeling. It's intuitive knowing. I've been speaking with these guys, but one of the experiences that hits me and brings up a real deep feeling of grief in me as a man, real grief, like an emotional feeling of grieving, is after I connect in with friends where I can see a clear, like a before and an after. Guys that, you know, I knew at college days, that in college days, you know, I was a bit of a mad maverick, and probably a lot of guys, you know, that's where we're finding ourselves, so-called finding ourselves, we're figuring out who the fuck we are after like all the conformity of school growing up and being at home, and now you fly the nest, you have your first taste of experiencing freedom on your terms, you can eat what you want, you can drink what you want, you can, maybe I didn't take drugs, but some guys took drugs, you can have whatever experiences, you can travel, you can start fucking around and experiencing sexual freedom, liberty, etc. It's life on your terms. And in my experience, you know, in college, I had lots of friends, and there was a deep, profound vibrancy around the guys I hung out with. There was a madness. There was, like, on a night out with these guys, there was going to be epic shit going down. I mean, it was mad. There was lots of drink fueling it, but there was an aliveness, there was humor, there was laughter, there was boldness. I mean, we pushed the limits of what was sort of allowed behaviorally. There was always like pushing the boundaries where progressively, it's almost like the bouncers in the nightclubs, we'd be sort of so mad, but not in a dangerous way. It was just having fun. This radical, fun, loving way of being that, you know, we'd get the attention of bouncers. I had to come back off that role a bit more, because the more I leaned into it, actually, I was more, on my personal thing, holding my hand up. There was an alcohol dependency definitely forming. But it's just to say that there was a vibrancy and an aliveness. You know, part of it was, you know, I was in the Outdoor Pursuits Club and we're doing mad, crazy stuff. And in many cases, the men I remember back then and the men that I would speak to on the phone now, there's a complete loss of the vibrancy. There's a deep loss of what I would call the energy of passion, the energy of enthusiasm, where these guys, you know, I actually looked up to them and they were like mad, crazy, doing crazy shit and outdoors. They were traveling spontaneously, going on these, like, from one thought now, you know, 20 minutes later, booking a flight or booking a boat trip to go on another mad adventure. And What was beautiful about that time was the radical aliveness. Yet getting on a call with so many of these guys now, you know, it's 12, 13, 14, 15 years into their career. And it's not what they say. It's not in the details. And this is where it's like, I'm not coming from a judgmental thing. It's like, oh, not valuing what they're doing with their lives. But it's like, there's a common sort of a thread. It's like the, you know, oh, well, you know, what are you doing in your life? Oh, well, you know, it's like the plan is, I have my goals, you know, it's all about being goal oriented. It's like in the next 3 or 4 years, you know, it's like myself and my wife, you know, with our kids, we're going to move out to the country, and we want to have this type of a house. We want to have, you know, our life set up in a certain way where there's going to be school, all the facilities for the kids, bit of country life, and there's these plans of, you know, all set up around the practicalities of their life. And in all of this, the type of house, the type of car you want to drive, the type of, you know, oh, I want to be able to have, you know, 2 holidays a year with my family, etc., etc. None of that is wrong. You know, it'd be profoundly out of alignment for me to say that's wrong. It's not in the details. What is the thing that I grieve as a man, as a friend, as an observer of what I'm seeing in a widespread pattern in society is, it's the energy, the shift in energy. It becomes hyper-rational. The speaking about the goal, it's like, I'm there coming away going from a feeling level. And my genius zone, my everyday, I'm in this arena. Within a nanosecond, I feel into the energy of where a guy is going emotionally. This is why I can do such incredible deep inner work in masculine mastery coaching, because it's the feel of the energy. Many senses, it's not what the man is saying. You know, we all know this, you know, it's communication. It's 5-10% about the words, but then it's the energy, it's the emotion, it's the unsaid. That's where the biggest communication is coming. You know, if you just think, it's like such enthusiasm back 20 years ago, and now the enthusiasm is lost. And there again, get to the root of what enthusiasm is. It comes from entheos, the God within. Do you know, there's a spiritual profound relevance. There again is the distinction. Professional, you know, this is what I'm doing, my career progress. I want to be CEO or, you know, the managing director within the next 2 years. I want to be a partner of the group and the firm, and I see that I can do that within 2 years. And that's all sacred. But when it's landed from this hyper-rational, unfeeling, it's all goal setting, it's all future focus. But your energy in the moment is profoundly lacking enthusiasm that you actually were experiencing 15 years ago, was a part of your radical freedom 15, 12, 20 years ago. You know, touch base with yourself. Was there a part in your life when you were radically free and like you maybe fucked your woman different or fucked different women with different passion, and you showed up, you know, radically free, went through your Che Guevara mode, and you were like sort of revolutionary, rebellious, you're going to change the world, etc., etc. But then there just was this slow but sure, insidious, unnoticeable slide into the suit, shirt and tie and the tidy haircut mode and the polite handshake. By the way, the handshake, that's another thing outside of testosterone. A man's handshake has decreased in power. The force that we communicate through our handshake is down by, I forget the amount of pounds, but it's like something like 30%. The force that we actually engage with a handshake, the modern man. It's another drop in our expression of confidence in our power. It's the first statement of intentionality, of presence, that when we meet somebody new, our handshake, and that expression is losing power. I state the testosterone levels and the handshake levels because, as I say, in a provocative type topic like this, and I'm going at it, it's so easy to rationally disregard and go, well, that's not happening to me. And I get that. I've had provocative teachers where they fucking slap my face energetically, and it was like, the more provocative the teacher, the more transformative it is ultimately. But it's like, it's challenging to face this. But you know, the rational mind can make all the sort of, it can cognitively reappraise anything. You know, the devil can quote scriptures for its own purposes type thing. The devil of the mind can cognitively reappraise. Slag me off, say something about the teaching, say, well, that doesn't fit me. But, you know, you're part of the society. If you're a part of a society, and you are, where testosterone levels are radically going decreasing over time in evolutionary rate that is ridiculously negative over 50 years, and Handshake is doing the same, you're part of that society. This is not a fault of you. It's not a fault of me. But I do say that we do have a responsibility. We have a responsibility, I believe, if not just for ourselves, but for, you know, the greatest purpose, the most purposeful men alive, scientifically, psychologically, from the research of brilliant people like Abraham Maslow, etc., to tap into a purpose that's bigger than themselves, bigger than their local, still sacred needs of paying the bills, of buying a house, of tending to the garden, the kids' education. And of course, there's a meaning in that, but there's purpose beyond themselves. And I believe that we all, we're not at fault, but we do have a response ability, an ability to respond. Kings of Freedom, the podcast, this is me, you know, leaning into my ability to respond. I have these inner reflections, I'll put them out there. Create these digital campfire conversations where progressively, it's wonderful, it's amazing, the audience is steadily growing, the audience around the world is steadily growing, and I'm getting incredible private messages and feedback from men. Many of you, you're listening in again, and I thank you, I'm so appreciative for the feedback, because without the feedback, I'm just like, I'm just a lonely schmuck in my room, facing a microphone with a bleeping blue light on it, looking back at me. That's the only eye I see. So without the feedback, it can be a lonely world. The feedback is really sacred. I'm very, very thankful and appreciative to it. It adds to my sort of impulse to come here and do what I do. So, slowing down to speed up. Just going to take a quick drink. One thought comes to me, actually, just from on a practical level, the difference of professional and profound. I remember there was a guy where in my last house when I was living, and I spoke to him about, I was fascinated about leadership. I had this early desire. I was like, I want to coach, I want to teach leadership. And at the time, you know, I was definitely beginning to experiment with self-expression, and I had long hair, but I did this, what was really radical and crazy for me at the time, like I shaved it completely at the sides, at the back and the sides, and I had this ponytail at the back, and I had this big mad beard, so it was a real sort of, I liked myself, comparing myself with like a Viking or something. This is sort of a warrior mode to it. But I remember this guy was really high up in the corporate world and top of his game. Like, there again, top of his game. I saw him in action at a big congress. Fucking an amazing character and an amazing, you know, sort of in his genius zone. Yet, he sort of looked at me and he was like, Mark, I really like you. And I actually, with the way you show up, Mark, I mean, you're authentic, you're real. I mean, you I can see that you're lining your life up to live this stuff out. But, I mean, there isn't hope, actually, that any company, any place is going to take you in to teach leadership. And it's like, he ended up just giving me, like, the criteria of the type of, ultimately, the facade, the professional appearance. He's like, suit your tie. I mean, haircut, yours, not going to happen. Big beard, no way. Cleanly shaven. That's the way. And he went on with this description, and he opened up actually quite vulnerably. We were quite friendly together at the time. We knew each other sort of outside a professional circumstance. And he was like, it's like, Mark, look at my beard. He's like, when I was in my college days, he's like, I had a big beard, a long hair. I love the whole, he's like, I'm a hippie at heart. It's like, I probably have dreadlocks. I definitely have a wild beard now, but it's not part of the role. I mean, my role, you can't do that. And I remember at the time sort of playfully challenging him. It's like, maybe, is that not an assumption? And he looked at me and he sort of, with a smile on his face, he's like, look it, I'm playing the game. I'm playing the game and it's like I love the results I'm getting and I get to do this work. So it's like, maybe it's an assumption, maybe it's not, but you know, I enjoy doing what I'm doing. And we sort of just, we left on very friendly terms. The beautiful thing and why it comes to mind is a number of years later, I met the same guy. And he had a big motherfucking bushy beard. It was like a gorgeous beard. I actually was envious of his beard. It was like, and I said nothing because I remembered the sacred relevance. I was like, I didn't want, you know, I didn't want to be like, oh, hey, you know, like, there you go with the beard. And you were saying that wasn't possible. I just, there was a spark in my eye. And I don't know, did he even know the relevance? There's a spark in his eye. And I believe it energetically was just left in the unexpressed. But there was this part of me going, dude, this is fucking brilliant. There he was in his beard. Big beautiful beard, and he's not the only guy. There's a client I have, top end performer, and one of, like, he had like really clean professional facade role, and he got to the top. He's like really at the top. It's like ridiculous. I read his profile on LinkedIn, and top end. Like, I don't think in his arena professionally you can get better or go beyond where he is. He is and has been performing at that level for like 20-30 years. But he himself was saying he's after growing a beard in the last couple of years, and I've had the great privilege of working with him intimately one-on-one in masculine mastery training, and he's opened up to me. He's like, Mark, my beard, it's like I'm never going to shave my beard again. There again, it's like it's a sign of his profound manliness, his masculinity, his owning his cock and balls. And he'd speak about this now. Obviously, he's in the arena with me and on a regular basis, so he's really, you know, allowing more and more of this come. But he had been living in this professional facade, this box of what you could and couldn't do, and having a beard just was not part of that reality. Where it's like now, his fucking beard is one of the most sacred signs and symbols of his unapologetic, unfuckwittable owning his cock and ball core spiritual energy and his masculinity, having this beautiful beard. So I share that. Part of, just take another little sipping of water, and they're professional versus profound. I said this before, it's like in studying to prepare for podcasts, you know, there's so many services out there where you know, the top end proper podcast, you're meant to get like professional editing of every last single sound out of it, from if you go once, I mean, get that deleted, a sup of water, oh my fucking god, a sup of water. And I have our green water bottle today. It sort of is, we have it a number of years, so it's making this sort of a squeaky sound. Let me try it again. Yeah, it went a bit ridiculously loud there. I should be editing that shit out if I'm being professional. It's like catastrophically bad. It's just, you shouldn't do this shit. I'm slowing down to make a point. I'm on point. Professional versus profound here. But I used to concern myself with that shit. There was this perfectionist part that I'd feel shame for how I was showing up. And if any little tiny squeaky bit came in my facade and my appearance, etc., 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 I'd hate that. No. So I just make that point. Squeaky green bottle, it's allowed. And you will find that if the microphone can pick it up, you're going to be hearing it. Horses in the background can happen at the same time as well. They're not going to ever be edited out. One key thing. I was about to say, gentlemen, no. ferocious fucking warrior men with cock and balls and testosterone levels rising. If they were 34% down, let's have them rise between the beginning of a podcast episode and the end, and let's maintain those testosterone levels. One of the main reasons where I was inspired to bring the profession versus profound distinction out to serve you powerful, amazing men around the world today was coming from, I'm preparing for the exclusive membership content, a badass Kingly Distinctions ebook, where I'm going into distinctions to support powerful men in nailing deep intimacy. Distinctions between what our queens find attractive and what our queens find repulsive. Repulsive. What deep down, even if they're caught in their heads, and a lot of women are actually caught in their heads because of this hyper-rational, hyper-masculine energied world. Masculine, not male, remember. It's not a male dominant. I don't do this whole patriarchal type stuff. It's masculine energy, not male energy that I'm pointing to. But in a world that is run from a predominantly masculine energy perspective, even if women don't consciously pick this up, and they mightn't own, and they mightn't hiss and growl and spit and like own their what they call the dark goddess and fucking rip you to shreds with a look, Shiva Shakti style, the old teachings, where it's like the masculine was had the head hacked off him by the dark goddess, and the feminine, they mightn't say it, they mightn't communicate it. Leaning too much into your professional side, where you are, like, leaning too much into your professional side is leaning way too much into your masculine part, which is focused. By itself, it's not wrong. It's good. It's cool. Goal-oriented, linear, rational. Remember, rational, incredible in your job. Rational mind, it's a problem solver. Like, give me a problem, it works. It exists to solve problems, to find solutions. Yet the more you lean into that professional side, you go hyper masculine in your way of being, in your psyche. It's repulsive to the feminine pole in your goddess, in your queen. Because what so often, and this is the thing with high achievers, with guys where you're hyper professional, you play the game consciously, subconsciously at work, you rise to the top of your game, and you know, kudos to you, like, well done. I'm not there again, I'm not against rising to the top in career. It's actually like I'm leaning into professional standards and ways of doing things in an appropriate way that balances out with being profound and true to myself at the same time. So I am playing this game. This is a distinction of balance, not one being right and the other being wrong. Okay, just I want to put that in there. Might have put that in at the beginning because if some guys have went off, but if some guys have disengaged, actually, I mean, that's part of the culling process. It's okay. If you're not good with the heat of the fire, well, this is not the campfire for you. This campfire burns fucking bright, unapologetically. It's repulsive to women when you're hyper-masculine, and that might work within the career, within corporate, within the boardroom meeting, etc., etc., etc. It just ain't sexually attractive to the feminine goddess when you're at home. You know, because the hyper-masculine pole of this professional facade and role and this controlling what you think and controlling how you show up and controlling everything in a, you know, it's a magician, rational-minded way. It's not very connected with feeling, with empathy, with the soft part of your feminine. As we do one thing, we do all things. And if for 40 hours of your waking week, 40, 50 hours, you're in career mode, the by essence of the most dominant state of being is the thing that dominates everywhere, you're going to bring that shit home. So even if your professional mode works at work and you're like, you're okay with that, it's really, really difficult to just immediately put on a different cap energetically when you walk in the door at home. So the vast majority of time, what works in career, men bring home. It's repulsive because it negates, when you negate the feminine in yourself, being professional, this is what works rationally, this gets me to the top. You negate the enthusiasm, you negate the passion, you negate the joy, you negate the fun, loving maverick inside of you, the playful inner child at work, because that is not what is appropriate at work in so many work cultures. Of course, this is changing a little bit, but predominantly it just, that inner playfulness, maverick, creativity is still not really acceptable in most work cultures. You bring that shit home. In negating your feminine at work, you negate your inner feminine, your emotional reality at home. And that's where, that's what your woman wants the most. She wants to feel, to be felt into. She wants you to feel into her. She doesn't want you to fix her. And then she wants to be listened to and understood and felt, but felt profoundly, where you're so present with her energetically, you're so in the seat of consciousness. That's the masculine core practice, being the seat of consciousness, embodied consciousness, also known as just being present, where you're soaking up what she's saying, but more especially what she's not saying. You're feeling into the depths of her being, not some surface level, oh fuck, she's angry. A rationalized, oh, she's really angry. What can I do? Let me fix you. Here's 3 solutions. I'm getting frustrated. But why are you being so irrational? You've told me your problem. I've given you the solution. You're fixed. Why the fuck have you not just used the solution I have given you? This is what I do every day. I fix problems. But now I've given you 3 epic solutions and you're not using them. Oh, we get frustrated in intimacy. Just slowing down. Does that resonate with you? Have you ever, or does it happen regularly? Most guys I speak with, it happens regularly, where they get frustrated. The hypermasculine thing that works at work, works with clients, with colleagues, etc., etc., down at the gym, down at the... where solutions to problems are actually brilliant. When we try to fix our queen's problems with a conveyor belt of these rationally produced epic solutions, she doesn't fucking want any of them. Does that ever frustrate you? Just put your energetic hands up if you've experienced this. Most men are experiencing this on a very regular basis. And it can really feel like a rejection of our masculine core. But why is this happening? Because that professional facade, that role, that hyper-rational minded, I exist to solve problems, part of our being. It's not our whole being. We have the lover archetype as well and the king archetype as well, which that, the king and the lover, that's the profound part of our being. That's the truth. That's the intuitive, beautiful, creative core center of our being is king, and the lover is the sensual, sensitive, beautiful part that was shamed out of us as young boys. You know, anytime we cried, anytime we opened up to our inner world and we, you know, reached out to please help me up, you know, our dads, our uncles, our brothers, friends, coaches, teachers, etc., etc., get the fuck up, come on, stop being such a softy. We were socially humiliated for this feminine side. So this, we bring this with us and we show up. Domino effect. If you go far enough back, you're going to see the root of why we end up choosing professional. Because we started choosing professional when we entered school. We started choosing professional facade, rationalized facade. You know, when we were 3 and we were told, shut the fuck up, stop crying, stop being a girl, stop being a wuss. Man up. You know, get up. Stop crying. Big boys don't cry. We start putting on that facade really early. We call it being professional later on in career, but it's a facade. And we lose the profundity. Our women, our queens, find this deeply repulsive. Of course, they want you to hit the financial goals. Of course, they want you to sort of enjoy your career and be successful there. But if the price to pay is that the man coming home is progressively distancing himself from the wild man, the ferocious man, the spontaneous man, that she probably more fell in love with at the beginning, thinking, wow, he's wild, wow, he's adventurous. But, you know, the further you go up in career, the more professional you are, the more you get this noose tying around your neck and the facade deepens. And then you throw in a couple of kids and you throw in a couple of responsibilities, the more pressure you are on to lean in more on what has brought you to success. And so often, men, we just find as well, it's that rational mind has played a professional role even more deeply. So the freedom, the radical freedom we had when we were in college, younger days, we sort of reminisce about the good old days. Do you remember when we were really free and we were really able to do all this shit? And then we project it to the future. Oh, well, you know, I just have to do this and I'll get out the far end and I'll enjoy, you know, I'll enjoy my freedom when the kids are gone. Yeah, I hear this shit. I hear men saying this. I hear parents saying this. You know, I have greater freedom when the kids are gone. I'm there thinking, dude, that would you? Statistically, that's going to be about fucking 15 years from now. You're actually putting your freedom to 15 years' time. And that actually won't be because 15 years, 20 years, college, when does it actually end? Oh, they're coming back. Then the first one, the firstborn, well, they're coming back with the kids. And now, you know, you're putting your freedom forward. Kings of Freedom is about fearless freedom now embodied. Kingly confidence now. Confidence, confiteria, with immense trust in yourself and your truth, your move, and nothing to prove you are enough. That is a now phenomenon. It's never put to the, you know, to the furthest end of the rainbow, the horizon in the future, the horizon that you never actually meet. Oh, I'm on fire. Can you feel this energy? And my energy, like, I really do want to communicate it's coming from a profound love and a profound acceptance and love of what you have created. I want to slow down and I want to acknowledge you. I intend to acknowledge you. If you're here, I'm acknowledging you now and what you've achieved, like you were there in front of me in a group. You know, it's, you've probably, if you're resonating with this and you're like, oh wow, there's, you know, it could be a bit too leaning in on the profession or forgetting a little bit. I've maybe distanced myself from my profundity, from my truth. Okay, if you're resonating with this, it's not a criticism. It's a loving, deep exploration into the inner world. And if you're becoming aware, you know, in today's episode or progressively you're coming back and there's a growing awareness, that awareness is a miraculous gift that you're gifting yourself by allowing yourself courageously open up and come to this campfire conversation with fellow brothers, fellow kings around the planet, kings of freedom who truly believe in this kingly freedom that they have inside them, inside of ourselves. The masculine core essence from all the different traditions of masculine teachings on the planet, the masculine essence is total freedom. Hyper-professionality is the antithesis, is the opposite, is totally contrary to total inner freedom. This is why this distinction is so important. So, you know, I honor what you have created by leaning into that professional standards. In many senses, maybe you've reached the top in your profession and I'm coming up behind because I, for the last 10 years, I've been learning what profundity is about, actually. And maybe, you know, my imbalance is, maybe I need to lean in a bit more on the professional aspect. Actually, I'd hold my hand up and say, yeah, it probably is. There's certain professional ways of going about things and communicating as a coach, etc., etc. I'm learning how to, like, a recent thing is how to actually request referrals, etc., coach guys into referring guys. That's fucking the nuts and bolts of me being a coach. So that's professional behaviors, professional ways of going about that. It's a thing of balance. So I honor you, what you've manifested already in your magnificent life, from leaning into your professionality, from leaning into these standards, leaning into your rational mind. And I honor you and acknowledge you for the success of what you've already achieved, what you've already embodied. None of that is ever negated here, ever. Yet I do invite you to look and honor the profound truth, the testosterone energized truth that lies within you. I do invite you to, you know, reawaken, remember, honor the enthusiastic, passionate, young gun maverick that you were in days gone by, and I do invite you, I do challenge you to seek ways where you can reconnect with that warrior essence and bring that sense of vitality back into your life. Repetition is mastery. I think I've spoken to this before in the podcast. You know, I always remember it's like reading about these Native Americans crying going into battle. Today is a good day to die. They were living so profoundly that they could die. They could greet death with a smile. They lived so completely in their life, so profoundly following their embodied truth. That's like, if today is the day that life, that spirit takes me, I'm spent, I'm done, I've emptied my music, I've come, I've seen, I've conquered. I'm good to go, I'm good to go. I can leave the arena, the stage, the theatrical production of this sacred life, and I'm good with that. That's when you live profound. That is not accessible when you lean too much into the professional. Because leaning way too much into professional, speaking with guys, there's a lot of regret that comes with that. There's a lot of unlived life that goes with that. There's a lot of sexual energy that you look back and go, wow, where did the fire go? Your woman is looking at you going, wow. If she was really honest, she'd be like, you're boring as fuck compared to the guy I actually fell in love with 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Where is that guy? She's desperate to meet that guy. And at some point, if she stops complaining, her complaints are trying to provoke you to reconnect, to remember that inner essence and lean into your profound essence. That's why a woman complains. And the greatest tragedy, guys, here's the greatest tragedy. In a man's marriage, in a man's deep intimacy, long-term intimacy with his queen, the greatest tragedy is the day where she stops complaining. Slow down and take that on board. I tell you, it's a podcast episode in itself, and it will be probably soon coming up. The day your woman stops complaining is the saddest day. And if you ever notice that, wow, she's actually stopped complaining, she stopped breaking my balls, it's the day she's lost hope that she's ever going to reconnect with that mad essence that she fell in love with years ago. She has just settled. She's settled. She's living out life and just tolerating the man that's there. He's good enough as he is. He has settled. She settles. There's no complaints. But here's the thing. How's your sex life? I guarantee you, you're going to end up like the guy that coaching one day. Oh man, how would you rate your sexual life out of 10? An immediate, confident 8, Mark. Total confidence. If your woman was here, who you're 30 years with, and, you know, I asked her to answer the same thing. What would her score be at? I've had this several times with different men. The answer is like 2, 3. Some guys are like really putting themselves down. 1. Profound essence lived out, embodied, is sexual energy. And you're not going to be one of the, you're going to be an outlier. If you're living profoundly with that raw sexual, sacred kingly fuck energy, you know, pulsating, radiating through your body, you're going to be an outlier in those like 40% reduction of testosterone. I've one last story here. It's one I just jotted down the notes. I want to share it with you. It's a beautiful story. I still remember it. I think it was Wayne Dyer, teacher that is at one point for sure really I leaned into his teachings. I really liked his radical true essence and commitment to embodying truth, being profound for sure. Wayne was talking about this class, and I forget the context of the story. Was it a class he went to? To some teacher, I believe it was. Some teacher he was attending, and this teacher was teaching about self-actualization. I think it was Abraham Maslow that he was attending. Doesn't matter. The story was that this teacher came into the class one of the days, and the class was teaching philosophy and the way of self-actualized human beings. And the teacher posed this question, and he asked the students of the class to go away and write a response, write an essay on what they thought the answer was. And what he posed was, this is the situation he posed. Question. If a self-actualized person walks into an after-dinner party where everyone is wearing like a black tie, tuxedo, attire, they're all super fancy, and he is only wearing like a white t-shirt, pair of jeans, and a pair of runners, how does he react? And it was pretty much that simple. It was like, okay, he wrote that up on the board, the students took it down, he's like, essay is due Monday morning. And Dyer goes on to explain, it's like on Monday morning, people come in and like these mad long essays describing how this self-actualized person, you know, he would have reacted and he would have dropped in, he would have been calm, he would have noticed, but he would have like, and it went into this whole complicated inner explanations of where he would have went within his consciousness and how he would have explained it and how he would have, you know, spoke to people in tuxedos and into his whole reaction to the situation of turning up at this black tie tuxedo attired after dinner party, and he was just dressed so mundanely. And the teacher took all these long, complicated essays from these brilliant-minded people. He put them up in the desk and he's like, at a glance, if you've written more than one sentence, you're wrong. He's like, the answer is, he hasn't even noticed the difference of attire. A self-actualized person, in the language I use with you guys in this culture, a king of freedom. In your self-actualized, full embodied, profound truth. Remember, profound truth. You would walk into that space and you wouldn't even notice that there was a difference in attire. You'd be so present, so truly, not from a rational sense, but from an embodied sense, not giving a flying fuck about what you were wearing, what people are wearing, because your mind would just wouldn't be picking up on that, because that would so be off the radar of what's actually of any significance in your being. You just wouldn't notice. You just walk up and talk to the first person that energetically you felt inspired to be around, and your evening would just go, and you'd show up with such profound essence that nobody would even comment on your attire. You'd just be so radiating presence and ferocious self-love and acceptance that there wouldn't be a ripple in the pond of your experience in that evening. If you showed up in your professional mindset, like if the question is, if a highly professional person walks into an after dinner party where everyone is wearing black tie tuxedo attire and he is wearing, oh shit me pink, a white t-shirt, pair of jeans and a pair of runners, how does he react? He probably goes to the top story of the building and jumps. Of course, not literally, but energetically on the inside, he's having a fucking shit fit. He's like, oh fuck. All my colleagues, there's my boss, there's the CEO of the company. Did he see me? I'm after walking in, I'm at the bar, and I'm only after realizing, and how many they're talking about, they're looking over, and they're probably, oh shit, I was due for promotion, and like, I mean, what are they? I'm the head of the company, and I should know this shit. I should have fucking known. Blah, 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 blah. That's the highly professional mind. I bring this story at the end because it's a dramatic story. And it just brings to, you know, I ask you to reflect upon that. Maybe you have situations where you showed up and maybe the attire, you got it wrong. I remember being invited to that by that friend who ended up having, who had a little goatee beard and said it was totally inappropriate and wasn't fitting in. And then he had the big beard a couple of years later. I remember him inviting me to, very generously inviting me to this high-end event that his organization was running. And he had to say, he was like, "Mark, you know, just make sure, you know, it's..." He had the, I think, casual attire or whatever. It's like, just that's the attire that's accepted, because he knew how I was beginning to show up. He was like, sort of just, you know, show up that way. If you're listening in, ferocious, beautiful, magnificent men from around the world to Kings of Freedom, this is a profound conversation. This is a conversation that is intentionally provoking you to remember, to reconnect with the kingly essence in you. The point of this podcast, every single word of every single episode, is not to teach you something new. I don't have the power, and it's my deepest held core value. I don't believe any person has the power to teach you anything. Core intention here is to support you in reconnecting, in remembering the magnificence of your own truth, the king archetype, the full splendor of your consciously known mind, celebrated the magnificence of it, that professional part, the rational mind, and all its brilliance of what it has achieved. Yes, 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 nothing is negated here, it's all wonderful. Yet, balance it by welcoming and reconnecting and reawakening the full remembrance of the truth that was hacked away from you, that was told was not welcome. Your big bushy beard, your hippie core essence, your free, loving, passionate, enthusiastic, adventurous, creative son of a gun, testosterone enriched warrior self, your kingly self, your lover, your sensuality, your sensitivity, your feminine, empathetic inner essence, all that intuitive, beautiful wisdom, the greatest men, the freest men that have ever lived, the self-actualized beings, as yet uncommonly lived out. But this is an uncommon conversation to support you in welcoming uncommon levels of freedom, uncommon levels of kingly confidence, uncommon levels of masculine mastery into your life. That is the purpose of Kings of Freedom. It's a profound conversation. It's a provocative conversation as a result. It's not a professional conversation. It never will be. Unapologetically, I make that statement at the end. What has being said already is perfect as it is. What remains unsaid will be said at another time when it is perfect. Kingly brothers from around the world, with deep bows and big love, chat to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Kings of Freedom podcast. To receive no BS proven strategies to unlock limitless levels of peace, power, and purpose as you lead your family and create your have-it-all life, sign up now to the Kings of Freedom email list. Find the link in the podcast episode description or at www.kingsoffreedom.me.